When Republicans took over both chambers of Congress in January, party leaders promised they would prove to the country that Republicans could govern. Well, as 2015 draws to a close, our congressional reporters, Elsa Chang and Susan Davis, look back on the year in Congress.
2015 was the first year Republicans controlled Congress in nearly a decade. And on the last day of the session, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell reflected on what his mission was this year.
And I said the day after my own reelection down in Louisville, what I wanted us to be was a responsible, right-of-center governing majority.
And this was the first promise he made the day after the election.
Let me make it clear, there will be no government shutdowns and no default on the national debt.
No government shutdowns and no defaulting on the debt. Turns out, McConnell made good on that promise. But Democrats, like Dick Durbin of Illinois, say Republicans shouldn't be congratulated for that.
That's like saying, you know, they didn't blow the top off the Capitol, so clearly Republican leadership is in touch with America. No, it takes more than that.
So what does it take to be a governing majority? It means compromise. It means getting stuff done. And as the year wraps up, Republicans are going around saying that's exactly what they did. What do you have in your hand right here?
I have in my hand a list of bipartisan accomplishments.
Republican Lamar Alexander of Tennessee is holding a double-sided card listing 24 legislative accomplishments. He's printed this list up into a whole stack of cards that he's carrying around in his jacket pocket. Are you distributing these cards to your colleagues?
I have done that because I think that, you know, our Republican candidates for president are running around saying we don't get anything done when, in fact, we've gotten a lot done.
They did get a lot done. Right before they adjourned, they passed a $1 trillion spending bill and hundreds of billions of dollars of tax breaks.
And before that, they overhauled education laws for public schools, passed a long-term bill to fund roads and bridges, and ended the NSA's bulk surveillance program.
They also beefed up cybersecurity, made it easier to do trade deals, and renewed a healthcare program for 9/11 responders.
But Democrats say none of this would have been possible without their cooperation. Here's how Democrat Tom Carper of Delaware explains it.
I think Democrats are better at being in the minority than the Republicans. We're a more cooperative, constructive minority than those guys and gals were.
Still, so many issues remain unresolved, not because lawmakers think they're unimportant, but because partisan divisions are so deep, they simply can't find common ground.
And on some issues, Democrats say Republicans simply failed, like on guns. Here's Democrat Chuck Schumer of New York.
The mass shootings, week after week, different types of people all being killed, is arousing the American conscience, and we will win these fights.
Now, Schumer's talking about fights between Republicans and Democrats over policy, but this year, some of the biggest fights were between Republicans themselves.
It all came to a head in September. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
We thought Pope Francis's address to Congress was going to be the big news of the week.
Yeah, but then a bombshell dropped the very next day. House Speaker John Boehner abruptly announced he was quitting Congress.
This morning, I woke up and I said my prayers, as I always do, and I decided, you know, today's the day I'm going to do this.
Boehner decided to bounce before his own members could force a vote to throw him out of the job. Many of his critics make up the Freedom Caucus. It's a group of hardline conservatives like Tim Huelskamp of Kansas who wanted Boehner gone.
I'm confident as a conservative that we have the right answers. I don't think John Boehner was willing and able to articulate that. He never did.
At first, House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy seemed like the natural successor to Boehner. But on the day of his speaker election, McCarthy dropped out too.
The one thing I found in talking to everybody, if we are going to unite and be strong, we need a new face to help do that.
That new face was Wisconsin Republican Paul Ryan, a popular lawmaker and the 2012 vice presidential nominee. The only problem was,
this is not a job I've ever wanted, I've ever sought.
So it took more than a week of pressure before Ryan finally agreed to step up.
I came to the conclusion that this is a very dire moment, not just for Congress, not just for the Republican Party, but for our country.
All of this House chaos kind of made it look easy in the Senate, where Mitch McConnell has to manage the chamber and the presidential aspirations of Republican colleagues who are criticizing Congress in their campaigns, like Ted Cruz of Texas.
You want to understand the volcanic frustration with Washington? It's that Republican leadership in both houses will not fight for a single priority that we promised the voters we would fight for when we were campaigning less than a year ago.
But Elsa, let's not end on a downer. let's remember there is a lighter side to this place.
There is! Like, thanks to Congress, this year the sledding ban on the Capitol grounds is over.
And Congress has made it legal for you to take your dogs and cats on Amtrak trains.
Yes! And they protected your rights to keep any resources you find in outer space.
Wait, what? You mean if you mine an asteroid, you can keep it?
That's right!
So that was the year in Congress in 2015. If it was too much for you, don't worry. Congress is only in session for about 13 weeks before Election Day.
For NPR News in Washington, I'm Elsa Chang.
And I'm Susan Davis.